So, should we go electric?
I think we should go electrified with Toyota.
Electrified?
Electrified means options. Yes, we could go all electric with a Toyota bZ4X, but then there are hybrids like Grand Highlander. Or we could do something in between like a RAV4 plug-in hybrid.
So, Toyota is electrified diversified?
Yep, and with more options for reducing carbon emissions, the closer we all get to Toyota's Beyond Zero vision for the future.
Exactly how much coffee have you had this morning?
Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
This is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio, presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Man, I like to compliment Cleveland, man. They did what was required for victory, and you got to acknowledge that. I thought they controlled the line of scrimmage, particularly in the second half. If you can't slow down Chubb, man, you can't beat this group, and we kind of knew that, and we didn't get it done. So we got to own the outcome, and we will. And so there's not a lot really to talk about. We got to look at this tape and learn and get better and get better very fast.
Well, you heard the words right from Mike himself, that being Mike Tomlin, the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And there's truth being spoken there. I mean, it's just plain truth. It's like a straight right hand to the nose. You know, it gets your attention, and you pay attention after that. But the fact of the matter is, if you thought you can go into Cleveland and just, I don't know, shut down Nick Chubb, you're just kidding yourself, okay? I know Kareem Hunt is an excellent back, got a lot of respect for his game, but he's not Nick Chubb, and Nick Chubb is the guy and the thing that makes that Cleveland offense really go. It was a good job by Jacoby Brissett, and they had some good throws and everything else to help in that offense that went out there. But let me tell you something, man. When you watch the power that Nick Chubb runs with, and you watch that in live time, up close, you begin to realize just how great of a performer this guy is. And, you know, that's not to take away what the Steelers were doing in the first half. Because here's the thing about it. With Nick Chubb, and I'm joined here but today by Wes Euler, because Max is heading for L.A. He's got some business on the left coast over there.
Real convenient.
Yeah. First of all, my man comes into Cleveland without a coat.
Yeah, how about that?
Okay. I'm sitting there going, Max, he goes, well, I go from here, I go to Dallas, and I go to, I'm going to L.A., and I go, Max, I got one word for you, Cleveland. Hello. I said, in one moment, he completely dispelled the notion that he's a smart guy.
Yeah, he's always touting that Florida Gators education. I mean, apparently he missed the class where they told you to bring jackets to the Midwest for a night game.
Yeah, exactly so. So I loaned him my jacket, which was, it was almost Chris Farley-like because he's such a large man. But anyhow, regardless, here's the thing about Nick Chubb. All right, you've got to try to minimize the damage, which the Steelers were able to do except for a couple of big plays in the first half when Chubb went 36 and Kareem Hunt went 18. And again, it's some of these running issues that just, if I had hair, I'd be pulling it out, but I don't, you know? So the fact of the matter is, they were doing some good stuff. They were playing some of the three inside linebacker stuff when they'd take Malik Reed out, or they had Robert Splaine in there with Devin Bush and with Miles Jack. And by the way, Miles Jack, what a man. This guy here, he's gone over, double-digit tackles, Wes, in his first three games, not done since the days of James Ferrier roaming the second level for the Steelers defense.
First time that a Steeler has done that since James Ferrier, and I tell you what, Wolf, anytime you're getting compared to that guy, that's always a good thing.
Absolutely. You know, you got a lot of respect for James Ferrier, one of the all-time great players for the Steelers, and certainly there was a nice job there. And, by golly, did you see Devin Bush come up and put Who was it, Kareem Hunt or was it Nick Chubb that he planted?
I believe that was Hunt.
Okay, most likely. I will tell you this, I was impressed. And to me, there's a lot of hope there because now this young man's been coming on and started to show some of the sparkage, some of the promise, some of the attributes that they drafted him and they jumped up draft choices to pick this guy. I'm a little bit excited about Devin Bush.
I thought Devin played pretty well. I thought Miles Jack played really well. You know, Wolf, it's unfortunate because it feels like, you know, we've told this story before, we've seen this fish before. But the defense did their job until they just couldn't really hold the dam anymore.
Well,
yes. Like they in the first half they did exactly what they needed to do. To start the second half, they were there as well too. But there was just that cumulative effect of, you know, Cleveland, I think, warmed down in the trenches a little bit. They obviously have the 1-2 punch of Chubb and Hunt. And with that, they're able to keep both of those guys fresh throughout the game. You know, it's not like you're just leaning on Nick Chubb. You're able to spell him and give him some real rest at times so that he can stay fresh, so that he can be that, you know, that closer for you in the fourth quarter like he certainly was last night. It's tough for the defense because they held serve for so long. But just early in that second half, you know, there was that string of, I think it was three straight three and outs for the Steelers offense, I want to say. And it just felt like, again, that was the moment where that dam broke for the defense and they just couldn't hold any longer. And that's, you know, that's again, I think the frustrating part is that we've seen that story before where the defense has done enough, and they just don't get the support that they need. They got in the first half, not so much in the second half, and so, you know, still kind of looking for that 60-minute complimentary performance.
Absolutely. You know, it's got to be a total package. Here's the thing about it. You try to minimize the damage that Nick Chubb can put on you, okay? But you also got to maximize your ability to go blow for blow through the championship rounds of the second half. You know what I'm talking about. It's those three and outs that just killed the Steelers' defense. Kept him out there, tongue hanging on the ground. It's a pounding. And you got to understand, when an offense can line up and run the ball like that, they try to snatch the heart out of the opposing defense. That's what they're doing. You know, and it's simply a case where you got to keep standing tall, but the offense has to come in and do their part. We had a 14-13 lead in the first half. Mm-hmm. Think about it. We outrushed the Fighting Chubbs in that first half, 88-79. You know what I mean? I mean, that was terrific. We saw the potential of this offense to start rolling. We saw the potential of this offensive line to be body snatchers themselves. We saw the potential of what we saw in the Steelers saw in Najee Harris to make him that first-round draft pick. That young man ran like a burning man, not just an angry man, but a burning man. That stiff arm going for the touchdown, what was it, in the first half there? That beautiful five-yard
run. Second quarter, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that was so nice. Was it not, Wes?
It was. That was violent. That was running downhill. That was everything that, you know, we had been wanting to see from Najee. And he certainly, you know, through the first 2 weeks, I think we were wondering, all right, how healthy is 22? Does he have some stuff that's lingering from training camp?
Right, right.
You know, what happened out there in Cincinnati? If you're looking for some positives to take from last night, I think it was that Najee Harris, you know, 15 touches, 15 carries for him. I should say 15 carries plus three receptions, so 18 touches. He's not on any type of pitch count. He looked like a guy who was healthy and ready to go. And then how about Jaylen Warren as well, too? Four carries, 30 yards, and obviously the one big play that
was that 36 or 7 yards or something.
Yeah, that was that was overturned by the ineligible man downfield. But if you're looking again, and I know a lot of Steelers fans probably aren't seeking comfort on this Friday morning. They're probably peeved and annoyed, right? But
sure.
If you're looking for some things to build on, if you're looking for some positivity, I think you started to see what we've been wanting from Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren. Still more room there. I mean, you know, between those guys, they go for 86 yards, and you want to see that number be, you know, up closer to three Bills, but much better than what we've seen through the first 2 weeks, certainly.
No question about it. Look, the difference is you got five possessions in the first half. They had no three and outs. In the second half, they had three straight three and outs.
Yeah.
And that – That right there.
This backbreaker.
Here's the thing about it. You know, you watch Rocky. I love Rocky. All right, Rocky Balboa. You know,
Adrian.
Yeah, yo, Adrian. You know, catch me.
I'm a fighter.
Yeah. Right. People do because they want to do. All right. Yeah. Here's the thing about it. Right. Those are the championship rounds in the second half. When you have a team that can put the beat down on you like the Browns are capable, you got to match them in some way, shape, or form. You cannot let your defense be put out there three and outs and not be contributing in field position and so forth. Because the Browns are, and what I was worried about was that they'd finish with about 40-some minutes of possession time because they are that good at being able to control the ball. And Jacoby Brissett, you know, whatever you want to say about him being on his
fourth
team. Yeah, he played well. He threw the ball
well.
You know, he did the things that he needed to do with his feet and did a good job. So you got a tip of the cap to him, or as Hines Ward says, sometimes you got to take your hat off and give it to him.
Yeah, and you know, Wolf, big part of that, too, was not only his overall performance, but I thought particularly in the first half. In the first half, he was accurate. He only had a couple incompletions. He had over 100 yards passing. He had two touchdown passes, right?
Right.
So at halftime, you're not able to say, all right, we can just focus on the run. We got to shut down Chubb. We got to shut down Hunt, and we're going to be all right because Jacoby Brissett was making plays. I mean, their first two touchdowns, right, were Jacoby Brissett touchdown passes. That was a big, I think, I don't want that to get lost in this either.
No.
If Jacoby Brissett was out there playing like a career backup, it would have been a lot easier to stack that box, right, and just try and take away Nick Chubb.
Right.
Brissett made that not a real realistic possibility, like I said, particularly with the way he performed in the first half. He was sharp. He was accurate. And he was exactly what the Browns needed him to be last night.
You know, that's a great point, is the fact of what he did in that first half. And he was, you couldn't simply just, put eight men in the box and then say, go at it.
Right.
You know? I mean, the fact of the matter is Jacoby Brissett made some big-time throws there. I know that they've split the safeties a couple of times for a couple of touchdowns. And it's tough. I mean, that you start creeping towards the line of scrimmage, you bring people up. You know, you want to attempt to stop the body blows because that's what you're getting when you got a Nick Chubb running like he was running downhill like he was last night.
Right.
So the fact is, you got five possessions in the first half, which helps to mitigate the body blows. You know, here's the thing about it. You know, you go – I don't know if anybody that's boxed. You know, you go in there and you start off and you move and jab and all that stuff. But there comes a point in time where you get into the phone booth and you start slugging it out if you're a close quarter combat guy, right? Mm-hmm. And you start going to the body, you start slowing down that opponent. You start making your opponent having to tackle, get their bodies up off the ground. And, you can see the discouragement that comes over a defense, the hands on the hip, the heads hanging. People sucking wind, a little arguing in the huddle. Whenever you start to hear that, you knew things were happening over there that you wanted. All right?
You're
starting to get the dauber down on that defense. Now you got to go ahead and finish with the coup de grace and pound them. But the Steelers, they just hung in there. There was only and part of that is with your offense, right? But they only had three third downs in 30 plays. In the five possessions of the first half. My goodness, that's a good job. If you're not good on third downs, then by golly, make sure you win on first and second. So there are no third downs.
No, exactly. And the Steelers, they did a good job of that at times. Had the touchdown drive where they didn't face a single third down. So again, I know, on a Friday when you lose to the Browns and you're sitting at 1-2, nobody, wants to seek comfort, but there are a lot of positives, I think, to take from that performance. Maybe not a lot of positives, but there certainly are positives and certainly building areas to go from, without a doubt. I think, there's both sides of that equation. Real quick for you, too, Wolf. 16, Jacoby Brissett at halftime,
yes.
16 of 22, 134 yards, two touchdowns. 118 passer rating at halftime for Jacoby Brissett.
I mean, that was pretty good.
That's pretty, pretty, pretty good.
All right, but then, we had our own man. I mean, Mitch Trubisky. Hey, Trubes came out there, and what a nice job. 9 of 10 on his first 10 throws. 9 of 10, right over 100 yards.
Yep.
I was impressed. He's pushing the ball down the field. He was averaging in the first half 8.4 per throw. All right, that's way up from the 4.2, whatever it was – last week against the Patriots. You know, I really like the way Matt Canada had him on the edge of the pocket and rollouts, and you know, it was like quick decision throwing. You know, being able to stack a couple of guys running similar routes up one third of the field, making the throw, you know, an easy decision for Trubisky. I said, you know, he used his legs at appropriate times, and you know, I was fired. I thought Mitch Trubisky did a pretty darn good job. Now, he wasn't able to sustain it in the second half, and the whole offense didn't sustain it in the second half. It wasn't just Trubisky.
Right.
I mean, as Trubisky goes, the offense goes. As the offense goes, Trubisky goes. I mean, it's just the way it is. It's all copacetic there. But the fact is, the young man came out and did some things that I thought, well, by golly, now this is why they brought him in here, because he was solid in a lot of his throws, a lot of his decision-making. He can throw a better ball in some instances. But at the same time, you got to have some people making some plays for you. You know, Chase Claypool, Deontay Johnson, that was a couple of big drops in that second half. And the fact of the matter is both those guys are capable of big-time big play contributions, and in those big moments, Mike Tomlin calls them the weighty moments, you got to make the play.
You certainly do, and that's where Cleveland got the best of the Steelers last night. Wolf is in those moments, like you said, particularly in the second half when those are the championship rounds. The Browns just made more plays than the Steelers did on offense, on defense, and it's tough. It's tough to stomach, I think, especially because of the first half, right? You're having success on defense in the first half against the run. You're thinking, all right, we'll come out. Let's get some adjustments here at halftime. Let's slow down Brissett in this passing attack, and we're going to be all right. You had, two, I thought, impressive touchdown drives there in the first half as well, too. And you're thinking, okay, the offense is finally starting to carve it out here a little bit. And you're seeing more from Najee, and you're seeing more from Jaylen Warren. And, you know, Pickens makes that incredible one-handed catch. Mitch Trubisky's looking more lively. He's mobile back there. He's making some guys miss on a few plays where it felt like the Browns had him, you know, dead and done in the backfield, and he's able to escape out of there and hit Deontay Johnson for a 12 or 13-yard gain down the field. You were feeling really good at halftime. I think everyone, you know, had that.
Oh, man, yes.
Everyone had that same kind of, okay, the offense is taking some steps forward. The defense is still proving that, hey, you know, maybe they're not going to get 5 turnovers and 7 sacks every game without TJ Watt, but that they can still be a really good defense and they can still carry this team. And then Cleveland, I mean, this is the other part where their coaches are paid millions of dollars. Their guys are professional athletes and in the National Football League as well, too. And they had good adjustments at halftime, and they came out and they were able to win those championship rounds in the second half when it really mattered. So, you know, it's like one of your wolfisms, right? Is the glass half full? Is the glass half empty? I don't know. We just got to drink it today, right?
Yes.
But there's more than one way to skin this cat. And I always hate that. Why do we have to? I'm not even a cat guy, Wolf. But why do we have to? Why do we have to skin the cat? What did the cat do? All right, we're not gonna skin the cat. Leave the cat alone. But
okay,
you can.
Now wait a minute. I did have a cat years ago that used to drive me nuts.
Oh and no!
Skinning the cat was. It was a thought that crossed my mind a couple of times. I'm just saying, nothing happened to the cat, okay? So everybody knows that there's no problem with the cat. The cat died peacefully after a period of time, okay? So what are you going to do then? All right, I mean, we're okay. But I have to say, I'm just saying, full disclosure.
Yeah, I've never had a cat. Always came from a dog family myself. but there's, listen, again, glass half full, glass half empty. You got to drink it regardless. There's good, there's bad, there's plenty to build on. Now you've got 10 days till you get to go back home. You get the Jets team who, you know, hey, they're not as jetty as they have been at times in the past, it appears. But, you're also not playing the Buffalo Bills or something like that. Let's see. I know a lot of people are smashing the panic button and calling for changes here in the next 10 days.
No.
Let's see how they come out at home against the Jets, because I think we all did say, Wolf, right, that particularly for the offense, you got to give this group at least 4 weeks. That's something we were saying in training camp. I know you and Max were talking about it a lot with the offensive line. I think Max said 6 weeks for the offensive line. You know, you got to give this new offense, new direction under Matt Canada, a lot of new pieces, new quarterback, at least 4 weeks. Well, we saw, you know, moments of it in week 3. Now can you put it all together with a long week, with some extra time to prepare and lick those wounds? Can you put it all together against the Jets at home week four and give us one of those 60-minute performances? I am certainly more optimistic that that is a realistic possibility than I was before we kicked off last night in Cleveland.
There's no question. I think that's a pretty good summary, Wes. You know, again, and I know that people want to say, well, Craig, you're Pollyannish. No, I am practical. You know, this is the reality of it. When you're inside that four walls of the locker room, all right, it's you and the guys, all right, and you realize at that point in time, there's nobody that's as Chuck Knoll so nicely put it when we were in 89, we were 0-2 after the first 2 weeks, you know, and he said, hey, guys, we know what works. We got what works, works, and we're going to continue. And it's about performance and about you guys solving the questions of why we're not performing, because we already know what works. There's nobody coming in from the East to save you guys. All the questions to all the answers of all the problems you're experiencing right now are to be found within the four walls of the locker room. Now, you guys got to help figure it out. We're going to put you in position to succeed, but you got to succeed. And that's the thing about it. And, you know, again, I know that there will be the people that say, well, you're just, you know, trying to be positive. You have to be. Listen, you got to be practical, and you got to be living in Realville, okay?
But at the same time. Hold on, Realville?
Yeah, you got to be real about
it. Where's that located? Is that near Bridgeville?
I'm in Bridgeville, Realville, whatever, you know. But you've got to understand the position the players are in, and you think about it, and okay? And you go, all right, you got to come back, and you got to reload. And you got to work out what didn't work. And what didn't work was the second half. And there's specifics that you can break down there. And you got to break down there. But then you got to move on. Because the NFL waits for nobody.
Ain't that the truth?
Yes, indeed. Wes, why don't we take a break here? And when we come back, we're going to start talking more about what we saw last night as the Steelers go down to the Cleveland Brownies or the Fighting Chubbies. I don't know what you want to call them. But we'll be back after this.
This is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio, presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
And they hand it off out of that set, and they find a crack off the right side, and that is Chubb. And he starts and puts it in high gear at the 35, the 30, the 25, the 20, the 15, the 10. He's about 2 yards short of the 10, down at the 12-yard line by Terrell Edmonds. He found that crack off that right side of the Cleveland offensive line.
You tell me, you know, he was running through arm tackles and things of that nature, getting yards after contact. It wasn't good enough.
And that's exactly the point. You know, on numerous occasions, there was this kind of a hidden yardage where Chubb was being wrapped up by guys, but the dude has such good ham hock acceleration and drive, his four-wheel drive. He was dropping that baby down in another gear, and he'd put another 2-3 yards on each and every to top off those runs. And, of course, you got the offensive lineman coming to his aid. But that 34-yarder right there, I mean, that was – or 36-yarder, that was – it's kind of like they run a – it's a cross between – in my day and age, it was a cross between a flow 36 and a 34 trap, depending on whether the end man on line came up the field or whether Big Joel Batonio, their multiple Pro Bowl guard, their sort of Alan Faneca.
He had a good night.
You know, he's out there rumbling. I mean, when you got a big hoss like that coming around the corner and you're Arthur Millett, you're Akello Witherspoon, you know, it's kind of like one of those moments where you're like, ooh, you know. This is not going to end well. This is going to be painful in some way, shape, or form. But the big Batonio came around. And by the way, the dude does look like a caveman. You know, he's got that beard and everything. Now, he trimmed up the beard, but normally he's got a beard like Brett Kiesel, you know, the beard sort of thing. But he came around that corner, and when he does that, that's the same play virtually that Chubb is a run. I think it was last year, a couple years ago, that he broke one of those big ones. You know, the thing about it is you've got to maintain your run gap discipline and take on some big body snatchers. And that offensive line of Cleveland Browns, no matter what you want to say, they're like a five across the board of they're like New York City barroom bouncers. Okay,
yeah, yeah. You know,
they move people and they take people out when they have to do that.
Yes, they do. And you know that offensive line, Wolf, they have been built over a few years here now to do exactly that. They got a couple first-round picks on that offensive line. They've got a couple big-money free agents on that offensive line. And you can, I mean, you can really tell that they've made that investment. I think, especially, you know, when you look at what they've done through 3 weeks of the season on the ground, let's not kid ourselves either. It's Jacoby Brissett under center, right? And he had a really solid game last night, good first half like we laid out at the start of the show. But everybody in the NFL, all other 31 teams, know that the Browns want to run the football. That's how they're built. That they've got the offensive line. They've got Chubb. They've got Hunt, right? That's how they want to play. And I think, to me, that's the mark of a really good unit, is when people know what's coming. People know what you want to do. They know where you're trying to cut your teeth. They know where you hang your hat. And they still can't stop you. Or, you know, maybe they can slow you down for a period of time. But eventually you can lean on them, you can wear on them, and you know, be able to lean on that run game as well, too. It's, you know, that's what the Cleveland Browns have been building towards with that offensive line and that run game now, you know, for the last 3 or 4 years. And you've seen the fruits of that labor.
You know, you look at our defense, and you're talking about 23 tackles between Miles Jack and Devin Bush. You know, that's a lot of hitting by the inside guys. That's a great job. You know, one of the things I was excited about was Devin Bush looking like Devin Bush pre-knee injury, and some of the way he moved and the way he came up and he banged and was able to wrestle a couple guys to the ground and jump up. And Miles Jack is just, I mean, he is, that's the fact Jack with him.
That's,
I mean,
the fact Jack. Yeah. Army training, sir.
Yes. You know, I appreciate the fact that you get into those old movies.
Oh, it's one of my favorites.
You know, Stripes was so good. I'll tell you this. We watched Stripes in 84 when it came out, up at training camp. Probably Tunch and I saw that at least a half a dozen times in the summer up at St. Vincent, because where are you going to go? I mean, you can't sit in the dorm at night. There's no air conditioning. You're sitting on horsehair stuffed mattresses. There's no TV. There's nothing. You know, there's no internet. You know, no cell phones. So instead of going to a bar or something like that, you go sit in a movie theater, which had great air conditioning.
I was just going
to
say the air conditioning had to be key there.
Oh, it was huge. And we'd go there. They'd let us out. You know, sometimes we'd get out at like 9 o'clock or 8:30, you know, we'd run down to the theater and sit there, and it doesn't even matter. I mean, you're just there to sit in the air conditioning.
Right. Comfy chairs and air conditioning.
Well,
it
wasn't back then. They just had the regular chairs.
Good point.
You know,
yeah,
they didn't have all that stuff now. But, you know, the point is, you know,
that's the fact, Jack.
Miles Jack was this guy, like we talked about earlier, three straight games in which he's gone double digit in the tackling, right? That's appreciated. Again, harkens back to the days of yore with James Ferrier. And that is going to be something I think is going to lead on as this defense continues to grow, because I think that Miles Jack is leading the way and showing just exactly what good linebacking looks like there.
You need that guy in the middle of the field, right?
Yeah.
And he's been everything that the Steelers thought that they were getting, everything advertised in these first 3 weeks of the season. And I think a huge part of that, Wolf, is, you know, we all know the Steelers, ever since that tragic injury to Ryan Shazier, they have, I mean, there's been a lot of bodies. It's been like a revolving door there at the middle linebacker position, right? I mean, you went from the Mark Barons and the John Bosticks and Vince Williams for a while, and you traded up in the top 10 to get Devin Bush.
I'd still take Vince Williams.
I tell you what, me too. You traded up into the top 10 to get Devin Bush. You traded for Joe Schobert. Like they have, as Mike Tomlin would say, left no stone unturned trying to find the answer in the middle of that defense there. And I think a huge difference maybe between Miles Jack and, you know, someone like Joe Schobert. Miles Jack, they identified him early in the process, got him early in free agency, and he was with the team throughout the entire offseason, right? Minicamp,
exactly.
Minicamp, OTAs, all of training camp, all that stuff. Wasn't like Joe Schobert, where you went out and you traded for him a couple weeks before the season started last year, and he had to hop on a moving train, to use another Tomlinism. this guy, Miles Jack, he's been here since March, and I think that that's showing, you know, that he had the full gambit of off-season workouts. He had all that time to work with TA and with Brian Flores. And yeah, I mean, again, anytime, I know I said this at the start of the show, but anytime you're a Steelers linebacker and you're being mentioned in the same vein as James Ferrier, that's a good place to find yourself.
It is a very good place to find yourself, you know? I here's the thing that I like. I mean, I think Miles Jack has been great for Devin Bush. I think Devin's starting, you know, his rise in play has been commensurate with watching Miles Jack come out and kind of lead the way. And it maybe this is just something that he needed to get over, that's that hump that you got to have when you've got to depend on that broken down joint that's now been rebuilt. But you remember what it was like when it wasn't functional. You know, I remember what it was like coming back from my knee injury. I remember what it was like to, like, you know, I remember my first practice back. Whenever somebody would fall around my leg or bump into it, I was constantly picking it off the ground like a cat on a hot tin roof, you know, because it's a natural reflex to protect an injured body part. And if the rehab was not solid, and if you're a unicorn, look, you know, one of the things about Ryan Shazier, the man was a unicorn. Yeah. All right. He was just amazing attributes. Well, how do you replace a unicorn? It's the same thing as a Hall of Fame quarterback, essentially.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to just find him walking down, you know, Smith Street downtown. You
mean or not a couple of them down there on East Carson?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, maybe we should check on the south side. Maybe they got some of the. But, you know,
I seen a bunch of unicorns down there on Saturday night.
You know, nothing good happens after midnight down there. You know,
especially
that.
Down there.
Yes, exactly. But, you know, you got Devin Bush, who is the same thing. He's a unicorn. The physical attributes and being able to play ball like that. Well, it did. You know, you got issues last year. Okay. But I see a rise in play, and I'm excited by it. I know, again, a lot of people want to – right now you're feeling a little down in the dumps. It's okay to lick your wounds for 24 hours. But you got to come back, and you got to start to reload. And one of the things about it is to identify some of the things that are going well for you and to maximize those and start bringing them up. And they can do this. I know what it's like to be in there when you have a couple of tough games. And everybody wants to, you know, in 89 when we lost 51-0 to Cleveland.
Oh, jeez.
42.
Good thing they didn't have Twitter. Good thing they didn't have Twitter back in that time. I tell you what, there, Wolf.
Let me tell you, it was all drive-through for the next couple of weeks after that. You know, but it's tough. There's nowhere to hide. There's nowhere to go. You know, you've got to take together. You got to get together and get the job done. And, you know, I like what I saw. This was a group that went in to Cleveland and fought their butts off for the first half so very well, and then they fell short in the championship rounds of the second half. But that, let me tell you, if you can do it in the first half, you can do it in the second half. And I look forward to how these guys start to come out and take that fighting spirit forward. And it's going to come down to each guy maximizing his play, maybe 1%, 2%. But you do that, and all of a sudden, you've got an overall production that rises very, very high.
That's the fact, Jack!
There you go.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Again, I'm not naive, Wolf. I know we've got some listeners right now.
Maybe a little naive. Okay, maybe I'm a little naive.
Maybe a little,
I don't know.
Maybe a little naive. Yeah. But I know we've got some listeners.
I still believe in Santa Claus.
Wait, what do you mean you still believe in Santa? We don't even believe in it. He's real. What's there to believe in? Easter Bunny, too. I'm not naive enough to know that we've got some hardcore, some diehard, some bleed black and gold members of Steeler Nation who are listening to this right now that are, you know, pounding their desk and, oh, come on, Wolf, come on, Wes, this is unacceptable. You're seeking comfort. You're making excuses for these guys. It's week three, and I know, Wolf, football, right? This is what right. We do in football more than any other sport. There's only 17 games. So we diagnose everything. We break it all down. We watch the all 22. We watch the film from every angle. We lift up the hood of that car and we do all the diagnostics, right? Because there's one game a week and there's only 17 games a year. It ain't like the Pirates where they lose a disappointing game and they're back at it the next night. It ain't like the Penguins where they have a bad effort on Tuesday, but they get a chance to get right on Friday. I understand the emotion and the passion. At the same time, too, it is only three games in a brand new era with a lot of new moving parts on offense and on defense. and, you know, down T.J. Watt, the best defensive player, one of the best football players in the entire world. There's some things that are moving in the right direction. You've got to get it all to come together here at some point. And obviously, if we're sitting here in week 6 and week 7, Wolf, and having these same conversations, we won't be pleased. But it's 3 games. You're not even a quarter through the season yet. You get to come back home on a long week now, and let's see what you can do here in the next 10 days.
All right. Well, let's go. We'll take a break. Let me just say, if it's been slim pickings early on, you know what? Last night, just maybe, a star was born. We'll be back and talking about it right here on SNR.
This is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio, presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Second down and 4 from the Pittsburgh 46. And this long pass.
A great catch by rookie George Pickens inside the Browns 20 at the 18-yard line. What a play for the young man from Georgia.
Indeed. And I think the great Billy Hillgrove really captured the emotion of that moment. We've been waiting for that. We've been wanting to see that. We saw so much talent, so much promise in training camp, in the preseason. There's so much there, and you're like, come on, we only got 3 targets through the first couple of games. You knew at some point in time that Matt Canada was going to have to get going here and really highlight and start to push the ball towards Pickens, trying to get him going. And that's what he has, the promise of the big catch. Now, also remember, because he's a young buck, you know, you got issues too. You know, you got the situation where in the end zone he tipped the ball, and I thought he could have pulled off. It was, in my mind, an easier catch than that one. I mean, this one was like an Odell Beckham Jr.
That was
highlight reel.
I'm glad you said that, because that was the first thing I thought too. Well, if it looked a lot like that OBJ catch.
Wasn't it? I mean, you know, that was really an unbelievable hand-eye coordination. How you can get from a full sprint to laying out horizontal and reach back with your inside arm and catch that ball like that. I don't know. It blew me away. That was just, I was so excited because the promise of what the potential of this young man is to contribute to this offense. Because one of the things that has really been lacking in this offense are the explosive plays. Mm-hmm. You know, if you define an explosive play like 20 yards or more, all right, that baby, that was just so exciting. It so picks you up when you're down there in the trenches and you're slugging it out, and then you stand in the huddle and you look at the Jumbotron. It shows that great catch, man. It inspires you, and it starts to make you, I don't know, believe that you can pull this out, you
right,
know?
Right.
Because people are rising to the challenge in the most difficult of circumstances. And that was a difficult circumstance that you saw George Pickens find himself in.
No doubt. Heck of a catch, heck of a moment, something to build on, I think, for sure. Only, 3 targets to the first 2 games he
That's
had?
That's what I believe, yes.
And 7 last night thrown his way. It's starting to come together, I think, for him and for Mitch and really, you know, Deontay in that conversation as well, too. There were more shots downfield, even more intermittent shots, right, Wolf? Those 12 to 15, 16-yard type routes, there were more of those, a little bit more downfield. I think we'll see that continue to build here going into week 4 against the Jets. And, you know, we all, rightfully so, I mean, we were so high on George Pickens. And if you watched him in the preseason, if you were out at La Trobe at training camp at any point, I mean, he was worth the price of admission, which is a little bit of an oxymoron, I guess, because it's free admission out there in La Trobe on St. Vincent College for training camp. But George Pickens, I mean, I'm not over-exaggerating when I say this. You know, you and I are spoiled, Wolf. We're right there and watching practice on the sideline every single day during camp. He was worth making the drive out to La Trobe for just to watch him practice. I mean, it really was impressive. About every single day, he had a couple, not one, but a couple wow moments. Even with that, maybe we needed to tamper expectations right out of the gate a little bit. But, you know, I think he's on that same kind of timeline as we saw Juju his rookie year. First few weeks of the season, you know, first month and a half of the season, he made a few plays. And then really about week six, week seven, week eight, it all started to slow down for him. He developed the chemistry with Ben Roethlisberger, and he really took off and had a great back half of his rookie season from there. I am optimistic that we're on that same kind of timeline here with Pickens.
You know, as I said last night, I think a star was born on that catch because that speaks to the potential of what this young man can contribute to this offense. Now, again, he would have cemented a legacy had he pulled that one off on the end zone in the second half there, because that was absolutely another great opportunity to add to what is turning out, what is looking like some really highlight reel catches. That's what it is. I mean, it's like the pitch will be a human highlight reel all by himself is there. But again, this is something that he's got to now be consistent and know what it's like to be a pro week in and week out with the same sort of effort and production. The other thing about it was at one point, didn't he get to, was it a pass interference? It was Pickens driving his man backwards. And he was doing a little rub route, I think, with Chase Claypool. They were crossing, and he drilled his man backwards. And when Chase tried to break to the outside, he ran over the man that was guarding and man press was up on the grill of George Pickens. You know, So he might have overdone it there a little bit. I mean, he physically came off the ball and he punched his shoulders. It might have been Emerson, the rookie. But I'm not sure. It's one of the corners there. Knocked him backwards, and then as Chase tried to make his break to the outside, Pickens actually threw that body in the way of Chase Claypool, and they got called for pass interference there.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That was good.
It was.
You know, the physicality of this kid. Okay, now we got to make sure that you marshal resources at the appropriate time. You know, you don't pop somebody, drive them back when your man to the inside of you is trying to run an out route and cross your face, and you throw the body of the guy trying to cover you into the way of the guy trying to run the rub route with you. If that makes sense, you know. Now, you got to understand, Wes and I we're operating on a couple hours of sleep.
Yeah, what time? All right, hold on. Let's put it all on the table right now. All right, Mr. Wolf, what time did you get home last night?
I don't even remember, you know. All I remember was the dog
barking
away.
Were you
away.
Half asleep behind the wheel? I mean,
No. It's just, I faded to black once I got in my home and into bed. It was just like, just fall asleep, man.
It was 2:30 when I pulled into the driveway about.
Okay, I was after that. I know that I was after that, but somewhere around 3-ish, I would suppose.
Can I give a shout out to somebody real quick?
Yeah, go right ahead.
So our producer extraordinaire on the broadcast, you know, I'm in the booth now, I think, as we've shared a couple times here, joking around with Max and Wolf. I engineer the whole thing, right? So I'm the one who's sitting there at the soundboard.
You're the man.
Controlling
yes.
all the microphones and the levels and all that stuff. Our producer is Dan Quinlan, who's on site with us as well, too. He's the one who, you know, tells us when to go to break, when we're coming back from break, hands Billy all the cue cards for the different reads and everything
that
he has
to do. How come I never get any of those? You know, I mean, Billy's
got to
get
you. We need to get you some food. You're talking about brats. You're talking about brats in the booth last night. We need to get you some food reads out there,
man.
Wolf.
You know, one thing about it in Cleveland, you can smell the brats wafting over.
I had one at halftime. I tell you what, as advertised, with that special mustard that they do there, too.
What ketchup is to Pittsburgh, you know, Heinz ketchup. That mustard there is
Yeah, they just call it stadium mustard, and it is, it was fantastic. But so Dan Quinlan, our producer extraordinaire, right. He has been, this is his, I believe, 12th year being in the booth with the Steelers for Dan. So he has been to all these stadiums, you know, especially in the AFC North, multiple times, dozen times. He's got it all down to a science.
Right.
Wolf, when I tell you we left that stadium last night, probably 40 minutes after the game, you know, by the time we got the booth all cleaned up and packed up and all of our equipment to the Steelers truck and everything and got to the car, it was probably 45 minutes or so after the game ended. We cruised right out. I mean, Dan knew exactly where to park. I was driving, and he was like, go this way, boom, boom, here. We're going to go under this overpass. We're going to come out. We got in the car, and we did not stop. Like, we hit no traffic.
Really?
No nothing. We were home and just a hair over 2 hours from the stadium because our guy Dan knew exactly where to park. So I was thinking it was probably going to be closer to 4 by the time that I got home, but we were home at 2:30 thanks to the savvy experience of Dan Quinlan. So big shout out to Mr. Q.
Exactly so. Beautiful. Well, you know what? Stay tuned. All right? Stay tuned, folks, because we're going to keep breaking this down. I'm telling you. And by the way, if you really want to read something that really breaks it down for you, you got to read the great Bob Labriola on Steelers.com. I'm telling you, he dissects a game better than I don't know what. I mean, better than I can fillet a steak.
Better than a biology teacher, right, with the starfish or the frog in class.
Exactly. Oh, I used to hate when they do that. You know, when they got the frog and all
that
stuff.
Yeah, me too. Leave the frogs alone here. Exactly. I mean, geez Louise.
All right, we'll keep breaking it down. Stay tuned. Be with us here on SNR.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.